والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. نوينا التعلم والتعليم والنفع والانتفاع والتذكر والتذكير والإفادة والاستفادة والحث على التمسك بكتاب الله وسنة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم والدعاء إلى الهدى والدلالة على الخير ابتغاء وجه الله تعالى ومرضاته وقربه وثوابه سبحانه وتعالى. وما علم الله من صالح النيات نسأل الله أن يجعلنا من العلماء الآمنين الفائزين بعلم اليقين وعين اليقين وحق اليقين ويرزقنا كمال المتابعة لسيد المرسلين. So we are moving at a reasonable pace through this great work, and we are definitely on track to do a khatam of it and complete reading inshallah by the end of Ramadan بإذن الله تعالى. But more importantly than getting through the text is that we hope that the meanings are understood. Today we are going to finish الدائرة الأولى, this first sphere. And then inshallah ta'ala, tomorrow we will take a break on Friday and come back on Saturday bismillah ta'ala, and begin with a review of what it is that we've taken. And so if you have missed a session or more, then I recommend that you go back and we can start with Q&A on Saturday session bismillah. Before we proceed further, let's make sure that we understand that everything up until this point that he's trying to teach us, and then we can build upon that inshallah ta'ala when we get into the second sphere and then the third and then fourth sphere bismillah ta'ala, because everything builds that on each other, and so that we can't really move to the next step until we've fully grasped the first step. And so that we have left off in the translation on the bottom of page 32, where it says, the signs of a sound heart. So in Arabic it says, فَأَنْوَانَ الْقُلُوبِ الصَّالِحَةِ الْفَرَحُ بِالرُّشْدِ وَالْإِيمَانِ وَكَرَاهَةُ الْكُفْرِ وَالْفُسُوقِ وَالْإِسْيَانِ وَمُحَبَّةُ الْخَيْرِ وَأَهْلُ الْخَيْرِ وَالْإِنْتِفَاعُ بِالذِّكْرِ وَالتَذْكِيرِ وَقِرَاءَةُ الْقُرْآنِ جَمِيلٌ. So keep in mind, we ended yesterday with the verse that وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانَ وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ, that this is attributed to Allah, our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one who has done this. Allah has endeared the faith to you, literally made it beloved to you, and beautified it in your hearts. And then the opposite, وَكَرَّحَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْكُفْرَ وَالْفُسُوقَ وَالْإِسْيَانَ, and that He made that unbelief, transgression, and disobedience hateful to you. This is something you detest. And this is from His bounty, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He's done this. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمَ الرَّاشِدُونَ, that those are the rightly guided. فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَالنِّعْمَةِ, and that this translates as a grace and favor from Allah. So this is also for those praying Tarawih with us here. We took this from the school that we studied in, and their tradition is that it's there that good innovation of how to keep track of the various rak'as of Tarawih. So after 2 and 6 and 10 and that 14 and 18, they say فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَالنِّعْمَةِ, okay, which is taken from the Quran, فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَالنِّعْمَةِ. And then they say after that, وَمَغْفِرَةً وَرَحْمَةً. And this is what we want. We want fadl, we want ni'mah, we want maghfira, we want rahmah. These are all the beautiful things that we want. And then after the 4th, 8th, 12th, 16th, and 20th, is that they first mention the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and then the Khulafa al-Rashidin, Sayyidina Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, Sayyidina Umar al-Khattab, Sayyidina Uthman bin Affan, Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib, so that one knows is that, okay, they've prayed 4, they've prayed 8, and so forth and so on, keeping track. And as we pray Tarawih. So, فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَالنِّعْمَةِ. And so then, he says, is that the عِنْوَانِ الْقُلُوبِ الصَّالِحَةِ. So, قَلْب, the plural course here is قُلُوب الصَّالِحَةِ. What is the sign that he translates here as a sound heart, or a pious heart, a righteous heart, a good heart, is what? الْفَرَح, is that we find joy in Rushd and Iman. He translates it here as uprightness and faith. I think Rushd is closer to being like right guidance. But this is what we should find farah in, is in Rushd and Iman. and that we have karahiya. They have karaha of kufr, fusuq, and isyan. As-salamu al-afiyah. Of unbelief in all of its different forms, and fusuq, transgression of different sorts, and that isyan, all different types of disobedience, which he translates here as rebellion. And that then, so this is the first thing. This is now, the unwan literally is a title, but it can also validly be translated as sign. Because in the sense that the title is like a sign for what is indicated in the work itself. And so that he's going to give us the signs of a healthy heart. This is the first. Finds joy in right guidance and faith. And then, وَمَحَبَّةِ الْخَيْرِ وَمَحَبَّةِ أَهْلِ الْخَيْرِ. That loving good and loving the people of good. This is a sign that a heart is salih. We have mahabba for khair. That any opportunity for good is that we strive quickly and we hasten quickly and we strive to that do that good. And one of the things they mentioned about Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq is that he drew near to Allah from every single door of good. All of the abwab al-khair, kullah, every single door of good, he drew near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through that door. And an intelligent person, this is how that they are. They want to draw near to Allah through the door of ibadah, through the door of helping other people, through the door of knowledge, through the door of khidmah, all these different things. Each one is a door that draws near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that we should love good. Because if you love good, you'll be motivated to actually do it. And then, not only khair itself, that ahl al-khair. And so in all traditional societies, like if I would say to Sidi Samar, like this person's from ahl al-khair, you know exactly what, you know, it's understood in a traditional society what that means. هذا من أهل الخير. Meaning, this is a good person, this is an upright person, this is a selfless person, this is a person that's helping other people all of the time, that he's from a good family. And all, there's so many different things that that means. It's, you just say about that, هذا من أهل الخير. And there's so many things that that means. And oftentimes, they've been touched by something that that person's done when they call people Ahl al-Khair. And so that this is a sign that a heart is salih, is that they have love for Khair and Ahl al-Khair. And this is one of the doors that opens up for us too, that benefit immensely from all good that is happening on the face of this earth. By loving the khair that's happening in the world, wherever it's happening, and by loving the people of khair that are doing that good in the world, you open up a door in your heart right here from wherever it is that you're sitting, in our case, Makunji, Pennsylvania, that the benefit from all of these people worldwide by doing that. Just by having that trait of mahabba. And so that trait of mahabba that brings about that abundant good that is that ultimately that impossible for you to know how large and great it really is. And that by loving Ahl Khair wherever they are on the face of this earth, is it also opens up that a connection to you to benefit from them, not just the khair that they do, but also their blessed hearts from which that khair that emanates from. And this is what our teachers always taught, is that we have to that love and support to the extent possible that any person on the face of this earth who's doing any good. This is not a competition. This is not a competition. Al-Maqasid and what we're trying to do here, we're not in competition with anyone. It never has and it never will be a competition. This is about just doing the very little that we can to just keep this thing moving. This is just a very small effort that we're trying to do something. The very, 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 very little knowledge that we have, from that we've learned from our teachers, Allahumma, just try to teach people adab bata, try to teach people the basics, try to do a little bit. No claims are being made, and that we're not in competition with anyone, and were there to be 1,000 other like institutions, like khair, that's good, and that we hope good for everyone, and that everyone will serve according to their capacity, and ultimately what we are seeking from this is to that serve in a way that leads us to becoming beloved to Allah. And that's stated in the Arabic language, عَلَى الْوَصْفِ الْمَحْبُوبِيَّةِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. It's hard to translate, but that's what it means. Is that you serve in a way, wasf is like a description, but literally it's a, you're serving in a way that leads you to become beloved to Allah. Because إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُؤَيْدَ هَذَا دِينَ رَجُلٍ فَاجِرٍ. Allah Ta'ala could that assist this religion, help the religion in some way with a corrupt person. You could have a fasik Muslim or even a non-Muslim that do some type of service for the deen. That there are means of helping the deen. So what we want is to serve the deen and to have our service be accepted. That's what's really important. And if that's the case, then this is just proves even further why it's not a competition, it's not about this. It's just about that. Don't get caught up in the means. That everything that we're doing here, all means to what? Everything that we're doing is a means. Learning right now is a means. Worshipping, fasting right now is a means. Standing in time, all of these are means. We don't belittle the means. What we realize is that our goal is Allah Jalla Jalala. And so if that's the case, then khalas. فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ وَإِلَى رَبِّكَ فَارْغَبْ فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ. When you finish, i.e. one act of goodness, فَانْصَبْ, erect yourself right away into some other type of goodness. وَإِلَى رَبِّكَ فَارْغَبْ, and desire that what is in the presence of your Lord. And when Allah Ta'ala says, وَأَنَّ إِلَى رَبِّكَ الْمُنْتَهَى, and unto your Lord is the end. وَأَنَّ يَا رَبِّكَ الْمُنْتَهَى, unto your Lord is the end. And we don't want anything to keep us from attaining what we've set out to achieve, which is closeness to Allah Jalla Jalla. And this becomes a test for people on the spiritual path, is that oftentimes Allah Ta'ala will open up doors for them to experience that certain things that are there to make them firm upon the path. And then there's times after that where they're taken from them. And it's to see, are we sincere or are we not sincere? Are we worshipping Allah for those things? Are we worshipping Allah because He deserves to be worshipped? And if we're worshipping Allah because He deserves to be worshipped, it might or might not return back at a later time, but this is the whole goal. Ultimately, is Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. And from here, there's this amazing statement where it was said about Abu Yazid al-Bastami, is that other righteous people were always asking from me, I want this, I need this. And dua is good, don't get me wrong. We should make dua even if we need salt on the table or our sandal strap breaks. We make dua for everything, right? But, is that he said, is that Abu Yazid al-Bastami, is that he was seeking me. Other people were seeking from me, but he was seeking me. And there's a difference. And we should at least include in our du'as, Ya Rab, that du'as that are not things that we need. Yes, make du'as for all those things. But have the right intention when you make du'a, but have from among your du'a as well, is that you're not seeking from Allah, is that you are seeking Allah, Jalla Jalaluhu. And even though that, in a sense, you're seeking from Him, yani, because you're asking for closeness to Him, but that's not a type of from that relates to any other type of thing outwardly, right? That is the type of tama, and the desire that we should have is that which is in the presence of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. So, وَمَحَبَّةِ الْخَيْرِ وَأَهْلِ الْخَيْرِ وَالْإِنْتِفَاعِ بِالذِّكْرِ وَالتَذْكِيرِ وَقِرَاءَةِ الْقُرْآنِ. Three things. So again, this is the third cluster. Okay, so first is that you have a heart that has farah, happiness, with rushd and iman, right? Guidance and faith. Second is that you love khair, good, and you love the people of good. And then third is that you benefit. Is that you benefit from what? From dhikr, from the remembrance of Allah, from tadhkir, from reminders, and from the recitation of the Quran. That you benefit from it. And this is a sign that this is a qulub that is salihah. And then he's going to mention that several verses in different chapters of the Quran that point to the same meaning. So I'll go through those and then we'll tie it back. So he says first, And this is in Surah Al-Dhariyat. وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ ذِكْرَى تَنْفَعَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And this translates as, continue to remind, for surely reminding benefits the believers. وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ ذِكْرَى تَنْفَعَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Is that all of us need to be reminded. There's so many things that we know but we forget that we have to be reminded of. And what a blessing to have other people around us who are means for us to be reminded. This is one of the greatest benefits of a community, is that they remind you things that you forget. Oh, you immediately remember, and then you can put it back into practice. So, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ ذِكْرَى تَنْفَعَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Believers benefit from reminding. And that this is ultimately that what the righteous do. You cannot force anyone to do anything. And even if you did, just as they're not taken into account if you force them to do wrong, is that they're not going to benefit if you force them to do good, unless they actually really make the intention. Now, our Prophet did indicate there are some people that have to be dragged to paradise in chains. There are some people, unfortunately, is that you just got to be really stern with them to drag them to good. Now, that's not for everyone. There are some people you'll push away by doing that. But then there are some people where it's just like, you got to just, you know, be firm with them. No, this is what you're doing. Right? And knowing that the type of person you're dealing with is important. And to, you don't want to push anyone away, but there's some people are like that. Right? They have to be dragged to paradise in chains. Whereas the ideals that where they obviously are, you know, open to. And this is one of the ways that you explain when your teachers arrange for you certain things to do. This is the tartib. And they used to be very strict about this when in Hadramaut, is that this is the tartib. And it was known that those who stuck to the tartib is the program, or what has been arranged, is that this is the tartib. And you'd have students, say, for instance, that the teacher would be in one place and he would arrange everyone to be in a certain place. And there's some students that would sneak out because they wanted to be with the teacher. And then it would be said to them, is that you being where the teacher is not and where he's commanded you or encouraged you to be is better for you in that moment than being in his presence. Because he told you to be there. And from here that we can understand in relation to this work, sometimes there's things that we miss. Sometimes there's things we miss. And in general, the only weird that you can't make qada of is da'wah. The only weird, the litany, the thing that you do regularly, that you can't do qada, make up, is da'wah, and translated here as service. And so meaning you have to give precedence to that. Even if it means, now obviously, within reason, right, within reason. But you have to give precedence to that. You can make up your other awrad. You can make up, you know, the recitation of that weird that you need to recite and whatever it is that you normally do, those sunnah rak'ats that you pray. But that weird of da'wah, once it goes, you can never make it up. And that it takes precedence. And benefiting people takes precedence. And benefiting people takes precedence even over that wanting to bask in books and spend a long time that learning detailed knowledge. Our teachers, their methodology, the way is that get people what they need to learn and get them out benefiting people. And yes, that you always will need that a few people who go in depth, but the vast majority get the basics and move forward and teach. There's such a need that we need to, that more people getting out there and bringing about benefit for people. So a sign that your heart is, okay, so then in Surah Al-A'la, سَيَذَّكَّرُ مَنْ يَخْشَى. He who stands in awe of Allah will heed the reminder. So khasha is a type of fear, but it's a specific type of fear. It's a fear that accompanies awe and reverence. It's accompanied by awe and reverence. So it's that you're just that in awe, if you think of it like in terms of a human being, and only really applies to Allah in reality, if you think of human, you're just in awe of this person. And then there's reverence, there's respect. And then you're going to be careful. There's going to be a fear element is there as well. There's just something about this person. And that this is how we have to be before Allah. And so what is Allah saying here? سَيَذَّكَّرُ. And this is a slightly different form of a verb. And this is the one who will heed the reminder. Okay, so he hears the reminder, but now he's taking heed. But who is this one? Men yakhsha. It's only this person who is actively in their heart in a state where they have reverential awe that are really going to take heed of the reminders. And again, he's tying this back into what he previously said, and the plethora of Quranic verses that indicate this meaning. وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. When his revelations are recited to them, it strengthens them in faith, and in their Lord do they put their trust. So tala yatru is to recite. Tilawatul Quran is the recitation of the Quran. وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ, when it is recited to them. And so that every time that we hear the Quran recited, is that it should increase us in iman. Zadatuhum imanan. It increases them iman. Wa'ala rabbihim yatawakkalun. And they place their trust in Allah. In other words, there's an impact that it's having on them. This is really what he's trying to get at. Is that we need to look at our hearts and to see, are we being impacted by what it is that we're doing? And if not, we need to try to dig out the problem. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَزَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَهُمْ يَسْتَبْشِرُونَ. As for those who believe, it will increase them in faith and they will rejoice. يَسْتَبْشِرُونَ. And then finally, اللَّهُ نَزَّلَ أَحْسَنَ الْحَدِيثِ كِتَابًا مُتَشَابِيًا مَثَانِيَ تَقْشِعِرُ مِنْهُ جُلُودُ الَّذِينَ يَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ الْآيَاتِ. Allah has sent down the supreme discourse, أَحْسَنَ الْحَدِيثِ, a book consistent in its frequent repetitions. The skins of those who fear their Lord tremble at it. تَقْشِعِرُ مِنْهُ جُلُودُ الَّذِينَ يَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ. And that, in other words, they're impacted. And that when the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being recited, it should impact us. Is that we should be in a state where that we are in awe and we are bringing to heart that we are standing before Allah Jalla Jalalu. So he's going to tie this together. فَكُلُّ مَنْ لَمْ يَنْتَفِعْ بِذِكْرِ وَالْقُرْآنِ وَلَمْ يَخْشَعْ لِلْتَذْكِيرِ وَالْبَيَانِ فَذَلِكَ لِضَعْفِ الْإِيمَانِ وَاِعْتِلَالِ الْجَنَانِ. And so if someone does not benefit from remembrance and from the Qur'an and is unmoved by reminders and clarification, it is due to weak faith and a sick heart that has rusted. Okay, and then the question really is, how do we know that we're really benefiting? How do we know that we're benefiting? And there's outward that ways that we can come to judge that. One is this important aspect of to what degree are we adhering to the sacred law and staying within the boundaries. And another one is in relation to how motivated are we to do specifically our awrad. Your awrad is the world awrad is the world of weird. And it's something that you do consistently. So praying the 5 daily prayers, that's a type of weird. Reciting Quran, that's a weird. That reciting the prophetic invocations in the morning and evening, that's a weird. And this is a really important thing, is that Imam Ghazali said, is that the criterion that we can, whereby which we can know if we are sincere in fulfilling a fard kifaya, communal obligation, is that we have to see how we are in relation to our awrad. Is that if all of a sudden we become lazy and no longer do you really feel motivated to do your awrad, that's a sign is that your hawa has overcome you, and what it is that you're doing is that not that your desire to fulfill that fard kifaya is not fully sincere. This is very important. And this is a very easy way for us to monitor our spiritual state. Is that how are we in relation to our awrad? Are we consistent? And to what degree are we motivated? If we find ourselves motivated, and yes, there'll be times where you're just so exhausted you fall asleep and you might not recite them. Okay, that's an exception to the rule. But the in general, do we find like is it heavy upon us to sit down and to recite our awrad? If it is, that's a sign that we really need to be careful about what's happening inside. Something's happening that we need to address. And it might not just be as easy as, okay, I've addressed it, I'm moved. No, it might be you have to make a shift in your life. It might be that you've now kind of been drawn towards something that's really not what's best for you. You've made some adjustments in your life that you have to readjust to. But this is a very that important thing to monitor our hearts in relation to our awrad. And if shaitan, if a thought comes to our heart, rather, that about doing some type of communal obligation, we should see how it affects that our awrad. Now, it might be that you become preoccupied from certain awrad because of the benefit that you're giving. As long as you don't feel lazy when it comes time to do your awrad, then you're fine. But if you feel that laziness and you just don't have an aversion towards them, something needs to be addressed. Now again, the only other thing that I'll say there that relates to this discussion and the previous discussion is that we do have ups and downs. So what is meant there is the base level of awrad that you set up for yourself that is reasonable and something that you know that you can do consistently and sustainably. There are times where that, again, you do feel constricted. There are times where you just don't want to see people. And there's times where you feel very happy to be with people. And we go through qabd and bast on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, on a seasonal basis, on a yearly basis, that we do this. In the spiritual path, you go through states where sometimes you just don't want to be around people too much. And that's fine. And sometimes that state persists for a little bit. You give people their basic rights, and you don't force yourself. You give yourself the room that you need. And we have to be understanding as individuals and brothers and sisters in a community to give people the space that they need. Sometimes someone's just going through a difficult time and they need a bit of space. You got to give them that space. Part of brotherhood and sisterhood is to do that. And then that usually it lasts for a period of time and then that things get back to normal. And then sometimes it's the opposite. Sometimes that we feel that prolonged states of expansion. And there's etiquettes in both. What we forget is, people would rather be in a state of bust. But it's more dangerous. It requires more adab. Whereas qabd is aslam. That being in a constricted state. Now when the awliya speak about these things, they speak about very lofty things. So I'm kind of taking these terms and like bringing them down to a very basic common level. So we're not speaking about them in their, like, in relation to the spiritual path here, necessarily. But the point is, it's safer because that you have less of a chance to get yourself in trouble. But you have to submit to Allah in every state. And if Allah has put you in that state, you have to submit. You cannot force yourself to do something unless that there's just something you absolutely have to do that the Sharia dictates that you have to do. You have to give yourself the room that you need in order to move along the path. Anyhow, so that he says here that this is a sign that our faith is weak, okay, and that we need to strengthen it, and that the heart is sick, ya latif. Hayth ran alayhi ma ran, and a sick heart that has rusted. And so, as we previously mentioned, ran is rust. It's the rust that comes to your heart. Kalla, varrana ala qulubihim, Allah Ta'ala says. Rather, they have ran, rust upon their hearts from that which they have earned. And so, that we need to polish our hearts. And our Prophet said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ siqada. Everything has a polishing. And the polishing of the heart is dhikrullah, is the remembrance of Allah Jalla Jalaluh. So then he says, فَلْيَتَدَارَكْ مَا بَقِيَ مِنْ أُمْرَهِ وَمَا فَرَّتَ فِيهِ مِنْ أَمْرَهِ وَلْيَجْتَهَدْ فِي صِدْقِهِ مَعَ اللَّهِ وَإِخْلَاصِهِ وَتَطْهِيرْ قَلْبِهِ مِنْ الْخَبَائِثِ وَخَلَاصِهِ وَمُلَازَمَةِ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَالِاسْتِهْدَارِ بِهِ عَلَى الدَّوَامِ وَالِاغْتِلَامِ الْأَعْمَارِ الصَّالِحَةِ وَالْمُرَاكَبِ لِلَّهِ وَالْحُضُورِ فِي كُلِّ حَالٍ وَمَقَامٍ إن شاء الله لِيَمْتَلِيَ قَلْبُهُ مِنْ الْيَقِينِ ويصعد بسلم من استسلام لله في الإسلام والاطمئنان به على منهاج الإيمان إلى مدارج الإحسان ومعارج الألفان فيرى الحق حقا لكل عيان لمثل هذا فليعمل العاملون. He makes it sound so incredibly beautiful. Like his prose is just Allahu Akbar. And even his Divan of poetry, the Rashafat, oh my. It's just the Arabic, he's such a master of the Arabic language. His, the way he speaks is just so incredibly beautiful. And it's like sweet on the tongue. And it rhymes and it without takalluf. And it's extremely beautiful. Anyhow, so he says here, is that if this is our state though, and the whole point here is that if we're worshipping Allah Ta'ala, that if we are doing acts of goodness, is that we should start to notice their effects eventually. And if they're not, we need to think very carefully about our state. What is really happening? Am I not sincere? Has something relating to desire overcoming? But this should, these are the signs of a healthy heart. And the ones who are really going to benefit from the Qur'an, from the guidance of our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, from the acts of goodness and so forth and so on, are the ones that are actively that trying to draw near to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and have these great traits like khashya. And so, if that's not the case, he said, then that it's a sign of what was just mentioned. And so what should be our response to that? To give up? No. فَلْيَتَدَارَكْ. And that... he says here, and whatever remains of his life, he should therefore make up for the time he has wasted. فَلْيَتَدَارَكْ. Right? Even if it's happened in the past, فَلْيَتَدَارَكْ. Make it up. Is it make up for it? Right? Do something in replacement of it. That do something now so that it can that erase what came before. And that he should strive to be sincere and truthful with Allah. Sincerity is a path. It's not something you attain overnight. It's a process. We become more and more sincere as we progress in the spiritual path. He should purify and rid his heart of foul traits, cling to the remembrance of Allah, and constantly be absorbed in it. Perform good deeds wherever possible. Be mindful of Allah and have presence of heart in every state. Again, this sounds very easy, but very difficult to actually do. His heart may then be filled with certainty, and he may climb the ladder of surrender to Allah and Islam to find tranquility in him upon the way of Iman, and then to ascend by the path of Ihsan to the heights of Irfan. So he goes back into the very that title of the book itself, and talking about the various that stations after that, Islam, Iman, and then Irfan. No, Islam, Iman, Ihsan, and then Irfan. Thus he sees truth as it is, and though before his eyes, kal-ayan. And then this is taken from a verse in Surah Al-Saffat, لِمِثْلِ هَذَا فَلْيَعْمَلِ الْعَامِلُونَ. For the like of this, then let the workers work. In other words, in that there's ikhtilaf and about who says this. Is it Allah or is it the people of paradise? But it refers to the bliss that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has in store for the righteous. And that this is what people should really be working for. This is really what they should be striving for. Were we to know what's there? Were we to know what's that waiting for us? Ya Latif. We would work really hard in order to attain it. Tayyib. So now what he's going to do, he's going to give us an incredible frame on how to understand an Amal al-Salih. So this word here, amal al-salih, again, it repeats itself. And he translates it here as a good deed. So he's going to give us a number of considerations, and it's roughly about five. This is the frame, if you will, on how we should understand righteous deeds, good deeds. فَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ هَدِيَّةٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ لِعَبْدِهِ. So first and foremost, it's a gift from Allah to His servant. وَفَضْلٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ أَعْطَاهُ إِيَّاهُ وَثَابُ عَلَيْهِ. Secondly, is that it is a gift from Allah which He gives to him, that it is also that bounty from Allah that He gives him and rewards him for. So that's the second one. It's a gift from Allah, it's bounty that He gives him and rewards him for. And that thirdly, is that He made good deeds the hallmark and the most manifest sign of the one who was brought near. So, وَجَعَلُوا أَيَ الْعَمَلَ الصَّالِحِ. He made righteous deeds, that a sima, a sign, for someone And the most apparent sign and the greatest indication that that's someone that Allah Ta'ala wants that person to be near him. And then four, وَجَعَلُوا مِفْتَاحَ لِقَبُورَ, that he made it a key that to that open the key to his acceptance, having qabool with Allah, Allah accepting from you. وَبَابٍ لِرِدْوَانِهِ, and a door to attain, this is the fifth, his contentment and bliss in paradise. So five things. That is the frame. So if someone would ask you, why are you doing what it is that you're doing? Why are you tiring yourself out? Why are you doing all of this? This is how we view it. It's a gift from Allah. It's bounty that He pours upon us and then rewards us for. It's the greatest sign of the Muqarrab, someone who's close to Allah. And it's the key to being accepted by Allah. And it's a door to His contentment and to the everlasting bliss of paradise. He says, فَالْمُعْرِضُ عَنِ الْعَمَلِ الصَّالِحِ لَا يُفْتَحْ لَهُ. And then he says emphatically, is that someone who turns away from performing good deeds is like someone who turns away from the door, it will not be open to him. It will not be open to him. الْمُعْرِضُ عَنِ الْعَمَلِ الصَّالِحِ لَا يُفْتَحْ لَهُ كَالْمُعْرِضِ عَنِ الْبَابِ. If you are just wanting to enter into someone's home and you're just walking around the home, how are you going to enter into the home? Right? If you just don't want to walk through the door, right? What are you going to go through the wall? How are you going to get in the home? Right? There's a place to enter into the home. It's called the door. And that the a'mal as-saliha are the door. They're the door. That if we want to enter, in all of the true meanings of entrance, is that we have to do this. And this is why he says, وَالْعَامِلُ يَقْرَعُ بَابِ الْجُودِ تَحْدَ أَطَايَ الْمُنْعِمِ الْوَهَّابِ. Allahu Akbar. جميل كلام. جميل جدا. A person who performs good deeds knocks on the door of generosity, hoping to receive the gifts of the bestower. What a statement. وَالْعَامِلُ, the am is the one who's acting. يَقْرَع, قَرَع, يَقْرَع is to knock. قَرَعْتِ الْبَابِ. But here, it doesn't mean literally. The metaphorical meaning is of knocking on the door through that, by doing things to be accepted by Allah. يَقْرَأْ بَابِ الْجُودِ تَحْتْ أَطَايَ الْمُنْعِمِ الْوَهَابِ. That Allah Ta'ala, in hoping to receive the gifts of the bestower. And then he says, فَالْمُسْتَغْرِكُ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ الْمُسْتَهْتَرْ بِذِكْرِهِ عَاجِزٌ عَنْ أَدَاءِ شُكْرَهِ. A person engrossed in worship of his Lord, constantly devoted to his remembrance, is incapable of ever showing him due gratitude. Right? Why? لِإِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَيْهِ نِعْمَةٌ جَدِيدَةٌ أُخْرَى أَعْظَمْ مِنْ كُلِّ نِعْمَةٍ كُبْرَى. And that, why is this the case? Because that gratitude itself would be a new blessing upon him, greater than all of the blessings. So not just a blessing greater than the other blessings. وَجَعَلُهُ مِنْ أَهْلِ حَضْرَةِ أَيْوَى إِذْ وَفَّقَهُ لِطَاعَتِي وَجَعَلُهُ مِنْ أَهْلِ حَضْرَةِ وَذَلِكَ أَعْظَمُ مِنَّةٍ وَعَطِيَّةٍ. It is he who graced him with the ability to obey him and made him of the people of his presence. And that is the greatest favor and the loftiest rank. وَعَرَفَ دَرَجَ الْعَلِي وَلَا يَقْدِرُ وَلَا يَقْدُرُ قَدْرَهَا وَلَا يَقْدِرُ عَلَى شُكْرِهَا. Anyway, so there's قَدْرَ يَقْدِرُ and قَدْرَ يَقْدُرُ. قَدْرَ يَقْدِرُ is to be able to do something, and قَدْرَ يَقْدِرُ is to esteem something. Even in, for instance, the Salat al-Istikhara, when you فَنَّكَ تَقْدِرُ وَلَا أَقْدِرُ وَتَعْلَمُ وَلَا أَلُوَ أَنْتَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ. So there, it's taqdir, right? فَإِنَّكَ تَقْدِرُ. You have the ability to do it, and I do not have the ability to do it. But then, we say later, is that فَإِنْ كُنْتَ تَعْلَمُ أَنَّ هَذَا الْأَمَرُ شَرٌّ فِي دِينِ مَعَاشُ أَقْرَبُ مِنْ فَقْدُرْهُ, يعني فَقْدُرْهُ لِي خَيْرٍ مِنْهُ. إِسْرِفُ عَنِّي وَصِفْنِي عَنْهُ فَقْدُرْهُ لِي خَيْرٍ مِنْهُ. In that sense, it has the meaning of like decree. And here it's like that esteeming this. There's no way we can truly that know the greatness of that blessing, and nor are we ever truly able to give thanks for it. The slave cannot fathom its magnitude, nor is he capable of giving thanks for it. وَلَوْ اجْتَهَدَ وَبَذَلَ جُهْدُهُ لِيَشْكُرُ فَمَا قَصَرَ بِهِ شُكْرَ نِعْمَةٍ أُخْرَ وَهُلُّ مَجَرَّهُ. Were he to strive and do his utmost to be grateful, then everything he does intending to show gratitude is itself yet another blessing that requires thanks, and so on. فَسُبْحَانَ مَنْ لَا يُمْكِنُ شُكْرَ نِعْمَتِهِ إِلَّا بِنِعْمَتِهِ وَلَا يُقْدَرْ عَلَى طَعْدِهِ إِلَّا بِتَوْفِيقُ مِنَتِهِ فَلَا حِيلَةِ فِي شُكُرِهِ إِلَّا بِالْعَجْزِ وَالِاعْتِرَافِ وَالِافْتِقَارِ وَلَا قُوَّةَ عَلَى طَعْدِهِ إِلَّا بِالظُّلِ وَالْخُضُوعِ وَالِاضْطِرَارِ. Allahu Akbar. These are the true people of Allah. They know what they're talking about. This is it. Transcendent is the one whose blessings cannot be appreciated except by his blessings. Transcendent is the one who cannot be obeyed except by his enabling grace and favor. There is no way of showing him due gratitude except by confessing to him one's incapacity and need of him. There is no way of showing him due gratitude except by confessing to him one's incapacity and need of him. There is no power to obey him except through humility, submission, and realizing one's desperate need of him. If we want wilaya, if you want to be, this is it right here. This is what we need to do. These books are laying down the foundations for us. If you truly want to ascend in this religion and to get beyond the basics, it's right here. This is what has to be in your heart. The outward conformity is there. Everyone has to do that. But this is what's going to differentiate you from other Muslims that are just worshipping outwardly. They have correct belief, they're worshipping outwardly. But this is what, when this door opens up, Ya Allah, even though he's still in the first da'irah, so just wait to see what comes after. But my point is that this is it. These are the traits of the hearts of the righteous. This is how they are. They're aware of this, that they can't truly thank Allah. And every time they thank Allah, that's a blessing greater than everything that came before it. And it was only done in the first place by his tawfiq. And the only way to truly that thank him is just to realize one's absolute inability and complete impoverishment before him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's no way to ultimately worship him as he deserves to be worshipped, except by doing the very best you can to actualize your humility and lowliness and absolute need of him. Those are the traits of the righteous. That's how they are. And these are the meanings that have been planted in their heart and then grow very strong. These are the meanings that the great Mashayikh plant in the hearts of their students. These are the meanings, is that when you read these books of these great Imams, the hope is, in this blessed times, in this blessed month of Ramadan, is what ends up happening to us, is that these meanings get planted in our hearts, and inshallah ta'ala, we water them by doing the very best that we can, and then inshallah ta'ala, that it eventually bears its fruit. I'm just going to read over this, and we can, time is up, so, and then we'll come back to these last three paragraphs very briefly when we review on Saturday, inshallah. Good deeds are thus a clear manifestation of Allah's favor upon the slave, and deficiency in giving due thanks for them in his constant state. Thus, for someone who is grateful, remembers Allah, fasts and stands in prayer at night, will fear Allah much more than others who perform fewer good deeds than him. Well, normally you think it'd be the opposite. This is due to his realization of the tremendous favor of Allah upon him, of his lack of gratitude, and of his many shortcomings. If you are aware of this, then you would realize that the scholar who has attained perfection might fear his deeds. He is afraid of magnifying them or relying upon them because he witnesses that his performance of those deeds is a blessing of Allah. He also witnesses his inability to give thanks for them. So how could he rely upon them? Good deeds are thus only performed for the beauty of witnessing Allah's favor, following the path and obeying Allah's commands, and due to the fact that he made them the door to his proximity and the key to his love, but enabling graces from Allah. Wabillahi tawfiq. So if that was all we did in life was implement those last three paragraphs, you'd be good. But we'll come back to them and look at them a little bit more closely. I'm telling you, this book, this is Tabarakallah. how he's been able to just summarize this so succinctly. And again, لِمِثْلِ هَذَا فَلْيَعْمَلِ الْعَامِلُونَ. This is where it's at, right? You want closeness to Allah? Here it is. This is how you have to be. This is what we have to do. We have to roll up our sleeves. And these things are not that hard. For the one who Allah makes it easy, they're easy. And you never know. You come home from Tarawih one night and one of those meanings is in your heart and khalas. It's there. It's there. And it rises in very subtle ways. It rises, and this is why it's so important to be in gatherings of goodness. Because when you're around a whole bunch of other people that are also have the same intention, is that we're especially reminded of these things. If you leave people alone, how many people are going to remember Allah on their own? Okay, a few. But this is why we come together in majalis of learning, but then also of remembrance. Is that you're in the mawlid and you're hearing the name of the Prophet ﷺ, and you're reminded of the blessing of Rasulullah. And then this is just completely overwhelms you. I'm unable to ultimately give thanks for this great blessing. There's nothing that I can do. And I'm shy before my Lord, humble before Him. And just all I can do is magnify Him and to do my best. Like, if that comes to your heart, those moments of having that come to your heart are some of the most precious moments of life. And those feelings and those thoughts and those states that come to your heart are some of the heaviest things of all in the scales. Even though you're sitting and no one even next to you even knows what you're thinking or what's even crossing your mind. But those moments with Allah, because this is the place of Allah's gaze. And when He sees that, Allah, though, that is what He brings to the heart of the awliya, of those meanings. And when they that start to become prevalent in your heart and consistent, and then you just are regularly just broken before Allah. Broken. And you are humble and lowly and all of these other meanings, then Allah Ta'ala just keeps opening up the doors for you to draw closer and closer to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq in all of our different affairs. Ya Arhamur Rahmeen, that take care of all of our needs. Ya Allah. Ya Allah Ta'ala, free us up to worship Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the shackles, all the entanglements, everything that is preventing us from traveling the path and drawing near to Allah and worshiping Him with sidq and with ikhlas, with truthfulness and with sincerity. Ya Arhamur Rahmeen, we ask You fi khayrin wa ta'afiyah to remove all of the obstacles and all of the hindrances and everything that is in the way from us traveling a path to draw near to You and striving day in and day out to draw near to You. Allahumma, we ask You to make our only goal, our goal to become near to You, and that our goal is to know You. Ya Arhamar Rahmeen, make that a reality within us. And from this blessed month of Ramadan, blessed to be able to taste the sweetness of this month and the sweetness, something of the sweetness, Ya Allah, that You give to the blessed awliya in this blessed month. Ya Arhamar Rahmeen, bless us to be able to follow in their footsteps and be able to hang on to their coattails and to be able to love them and to try to emulate them. ظاهرا باطنا في خير والفعافي وصلى الله عليه وسلم محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم بسر الفاتحة وإلى حضرة النبي